And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. And we are here with you for the next 3 hours. And we're out of the studio today. We're broadcasting live from the big hall here, the gym, I suppose you would call it, at the Finn Valley College. So there might be a slight bit of echo on it, but you know what? It'll be grand. Because later on, it's going to be buzzing with noise and fun as they launch their Donegal album, raising money for the Donegal Hospice. Now, we've got loads of live performances from students and teachers on the show today, by the way. So it's an extra special show to watch. So if you do want to watch the program, if you're at home or working from home, you can open up the YouTube app on your smart TV or your Fire Stick and type in Highland Radio Ireland, and we are there. We're also across the Facebook pages and on X. And we want you contributing as well from home or work or wherever you are throughout the course of the morning. Our lines are open as normal. You contact and interact with us the same as you always do. 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. Right, we have our Friday panel in studio with us, which is fantastic, and they are Councillor Patrick McGowan, Lass Cathaoirleach of Lifford Stranooler Municipal District. How are you getting on, Patrick?
Yeah, great, thank you very much, Greg.
It's great to be here. Well, normally I'd welcome people on, but I feel like I'm in your space now,
you're
right?
You're very welcome.
To it's great to be here. Paul Harkin is Chair of Ballybuffet Stranooler Chamber. Hiya, Paul.
Good morning, Greg.
Good to have you with us as always. And Councillor Dakota Neat Minimum, Sinn Féin Councillor in the Lifford Stranooler Municipal District. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, so I want to talk about Ballybuffet Stranooler, the Finn Valley area more generally, I suppose, in the context of now, but also, you know, potentially post bypass. And I know you were talking to me about that on the show to some extent, Patrick, so I will come to you. But Paul, you know, we've seen, and I'm speaking as if this bypass goes ahead, and we have to presume that plans are well afoot, and it may well do so, right? So, you know, is this going to be I don't want to mention any times, so I won't. Is this going to be, you know, the death of the Twin Towns, or is this going to be like a Donegal town, for an example, where it really, really comes into its own when traffic that doesn't need to be there isn't there? What do you think?
Well, look, I suppose to start off and say it is much needed. There is huge congestion in the town. I suppose from a business perspective, it's going to pose a significant challenge. It's going to be a worrying time for some businesses, and I suppose other businesses might benefit from less congestion. You know, studies show, Greg, that small towns with under a population of 2,500 are more likely to suffer a negative impact, while many medium to large-sized towns, which the Twin Towns would be with a population around 5,500, you know, they experience little or no negative change in the town's economic condition. You know, if you take Macroom in County Cork, that had a bypass of the town, a study of that showed that there's a 40% reduction in traffic going through the town. Oddly enough, 60% of that was medium to heavy good vehicles, but the town's seen a 25% increase in footfall in the town centre, you know, which is, you know, very positive.
I think it makes it just a more attractive place if the town gets the right to go.
You know, out of 25 businesses surveyed, 12 said they've seen a positive or very positive impact on business, while 12 says they've seen no change in business. So I suppose from us here in the Twin Towns, you know, statistics together are certainly encouraging. But again, Greg, I think what's key in all of this is if the bypass does go ahead, and you presume it will, signage, you know, signage leading you to the town centre,
yeah, good access to
is key. And again, like you said, good access, like, so you can get in and out, you know, shortest possible distance. I suppose we all travel a lot, Greg. Daily journeys and longer journeys, and we've all a destination, as you may call it. You know, you stop for whatever reason. It might be because you like the food, or, you know, you like the surroundings. It might be a halfway house. But, and I say it in my own business in Donegal, most importantly, Greg, a lot of people stop with us to use the toilet. We're a toilet facility. Mm. Do you know? So, like, I think as a town, if we get, and as a business community, if we get them things right, you know, if we're known as that destination stop, you would hope that people would still, you know, come and avail of your service.
Dakota, what do you think? How do you think the future of the Finn Valley is? And the reason I'm asking this question now is because, you know, if there's anything that needs to be done or should be done, you know, now's the time to plan for it, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm very hopeful with this bypass that it will come along now. I know it's been in the pipeline for a number of years, probably pre my existence.
I think pre your dad's existence.
Yeah, probably. but I'm very hopeful now. We've seen a lot of developments recently. I think it will be brilliant for the town. I think it really will make the biggest difference because so many people just don't want to go through the town as it is, and they already are taking whatever shortcuts they can. So anybody that does want to come into the town, they will be able to now. And
yeah, it just has to be a destination town,
yeah,
doesn't it, really?
Well, I think we already are because yeah, we have so much going on in this town. You know, we have Michaelhannies that draws a big, big lot of people coming up here from all across Ireland, especially the north as well. And, you know, we're the town with the JA Centre as well, like McCool, so where a lot of the home games are played. You know, we are known as yeah, a town. You know, we're not a small town that nobody knows. We yeah, are well established, and I think we'll have absolutely no problem.
From your perspective, Patrick?
Yeah, no, I think if you wanted to answer in one word, is like Belfast and Stour would have no future without a bypass. So it's as simple as that. We need a bypass. As regards the future, I think that there are challenges there, but there's a lot of benefits. The fact, as you said, we're going to get a lot of the traffic that are going to Derry, to Sligo, to Galway, a lot of that traffic that doesn't necessarily want to stop in the town. I think we will have to repurpose. Businesses themselves will have a new challenge. I think the whole town centre will be opened up. It'll be a lot easier for them. It'll be a more friendly town for people to stop, shop and that. And as I said, with the likes of probably one of the biggest attractions in the country is Michaelhannies, like, and probably the biggest attraction that cash projections going forward, you know, that Michaelhannies is not to be underestimated. It will be a draw. It's up to our business then to piggyback on top of that.
What's the status of the plans that were introduced, I don't know how long it was ago, about, you know, canopies and seating areas and all that kind of stuff? I can't remember under what policy that was. But
that's a rural regeneration, the same as urban, as right, in Kenny. We have the rural one. It's called the Seed Project.
Yeah.
At the moment, when them funding was announced and come in, the council actually had done that through their planning, forward planning, designed all these projects, put them in and were successful. We actually didn't have a delivery team of engineers who takes it through to tendering. Mm. And that was actually put in place at the same time as the funding, because you weren't going to employ these people or move them about unless you had the funding. That has taken too long. But the first stage of that will be the repurposing of the Rut Cinema, keeping the front facade, but repurposing it into a three-story 80 office block. So that has got permission there in the last month or two to go to tender. So that's working a tender. That'll start. The other part of that project, again, is turning the existing car park in front of the shopping centre into an open plaza where the community can come and sit, same as you have in other town
yeah,
squares.
That's what I was referring to mostly. I've forgotten about the Ritz plans.
Yeah, with a multi-purpose then car park at the back, which part of that will be sheltered, which means you can go and drive.
Is there any time frame on that?
That part at the moment is going through compulsory purchase order because the council don't own that okay, land. So the funding's been there. There was 9 million. Obviously, it'll take maybe 12 million. Mm. But as well as that, we're at an advanced stage as well of doing we have a town team now looking at repurposing all of the buildings in okay, the town, the derelict buildings. So that has gone through. Yeah.
And there are also other moves on to encourage above shop building, but also to strengthen county council powers for compulsory purchase orders, which would be useful. Paul, if I were involved in business in Ballybuffet, maybe it doesn't bother people of Ballybuffet and all, or one of the first things I would do is try and get this vacant property statistic sorted out. Every single year, and I've got to the point now where I'm ignoring it, every single year it comes out that it has the highest vacant commercial, and I just don't think that's a really good annual moniker for the area, right? I don't think it's very nuanced. I think it's done on air codes. and not necessarily floor space. And, you know, then you've got vibrant hubs where you've got multiple businesses and it doesn't take it into account. I know it's not a big thing, but if I were involved with the chamber, one of the first things I'd be doing is getting onto Geo Directory Ireland and saying, can you explain these figures? Because I'm sick and tired of every single year around the country talking about as if there's nothing happening in the Finn Valley. And that's bad PR, and that's one of the things I'd be working on if I was working with you guys.
But what you must remember too, Greg, is the statistics in our view are somewhat clouded because it's actually two towns. So they're grouping the two together, so you're taking two towns.
But even so, you know, I mean, how many times are they going to count the same derelict buildings over and over again that probably have never, no future as a commercial building?
You know, look, at the end of the, day, Greg, I suppose that that's a challenge in itself. I know there is plans and there's grants available to tackle the dereliction, but for me, I suppose the key thing in the town is industry and attracting some sort of industry in. Like, you know, I think we need, like a Primerica, something to that nature, you know. Like, you know, there's only so many chemists you can put in the one town before it's no good to any of them chemists.
But you'd have thought that would be, if with the right support, it would be a fantastic thing for the IDA to get behind to try and ease some of the pressures on Letterkenny, for example. You know, I mean, it's, you talk about commuter towns, right? You know, there's people travel an hour and a half, 2 hours to work in Dublin. Like, why aren't people maybe availing of the proximity of Ballybofey in order to Letterkenny and spread a bit of that love? Like,
well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Greg, because the government strategy is for that northwestern corridor. It's you know, any investment in industry is Sligo, Letterkenny, and Derry. And out of sight of that, you're not in the equation at all. And I think that's sad. Like, how do you know, they've all this talk about regenerating town centres and tackling all this dereliction, but you know, to support that, you need jobs, like you need industry. So if it's all focused towards Sligo, Letterkenny and Derry, how does towns with a significant population like Ballybofey, 5,500, you know, how do they move forward? Like?
Yeah, Dakota, the towns do, it does feel like they do need alternative employment types, you know what I mean? Not just retail or hospitality. And I'm not saying that's not the only, I'm not saying that's the only show in town, but you know, a big employer in a different area, 300 or 400 people, I mean, that would be such a game changer.
Yeah, well, it would be great to have a bit of diversity in the town and allow more jobs to prosper in the town with a wide range of different jobs and allow people to stay here as well instead of commuting.
A caller says, by diverting long-distance traffic away from the main streets, the bypass is expected to significantly increase safety for local residents, pedestrians and cyclists, but this is the same passing traffic that we as businesses need. And other business owners in towns like this facing a bypass worry that removing through traffic will also remove potential customers, leading to a decrease in trade. Ballybofey will survive because people will stop, but I think Stranorlar, which is the poor cousin, will suffer. And another, I hate to raise it again, but those crossings in Ballybofey are still a huge hazard. Well, I can't start talking about them again because I didn't like them when they were going in. But I think, I'm not sure if it was you, I think it might have been either, well, it was Paul or Patrick, one of you did talk about how it was you, Patrick, in fact, it might mean all that certain types of businesses grow and others that maybe rely on dropping in for a Coke and a vape might end up closing.
Yeah, and look, as we speak right now, we have a local firm, born and bred, out in Boston now with the county council, growing back into what this town and many towns in East Donegal many years ago would have been famous for, was the retail, the clothing industry. We have Riley Sports that are out with the county council, that's the dairy demand. This year there's more Donegal firms out than there ever has been before. And last night they had a great reception. So they are working on it. I suppose it's up to the government that to create the atmosphere and to help industry and grants and that. But
yeah, that's a problem because if you just heard from Paul, you know, the only show in town in Sligo is Sligo Town and the only show in town in Donegal is Letterkenny, according to the, you know, the plans. So, you know, you talked about the government's responsibility, but if this area needs to be on the radar too.
Yeah, well, look, when you're talking about the ADA and you're talking about foreign direct investment, and like, as you would know in Letterkenny, all the big international companies want to be together. They work through one another, and they do want to be together. Now, when
can I just say, I'm not really sure that's true. I think what they want is they want a fully serviced site. They want state supports. They want nice tarmac, exactly what the IDA is providing in Letterkenny. I think if a business park or even one site was established in this area, I don't think any big company would have any issue coming here over Letterkenny. I'm not contradicting you, by the way, but I don't think it's necessarily access to Letterkenny that's attracted them. I think that's where you drive up and down the roads. It's IDA signs everywhere. Stick one of them here.
Well, look, the proof of the pudding is we probably have one of the best international, let's say, lobbyists, our own government or department. The IDA is recognised throughout the world. You just have to look that nearly every, the top international companies of the world are based in Ireland. And that just didn't happen. So when we have them people there, they're out lobbying and working for us all over the world, you do have to listen to them. I would like to see a lot of these sites built, but many, many years ago, the IDA went into Mulford, Stranorder, they went round, built all these factories, and they all lay there for years and years.
Yeah, but
20, 30 years ago, they were repurposed into tire factories. Or
I don't disagree with you fully, but they used to go into Ballyshannon. They used to go into Donegal Town. The craft village is still there in Donegal Town. The infrastructure is still there. I take what the point you're making, but I think they were getting it wrong in the type of businesses and how they supported them all over the place. They have changed. So it's not a case now whereby you take the grants until they run off and clear off now. Yeah. You know, there's clawback and all that type of stuff.
And it's not like people used to talk about Abbott's and talk about, they're all successful. Is that this myth that they get the grants and run off? That used to be the case, though.
There was other reasons. They were unsustainable businesses, and as soon as the money ran out, they left.
Yeah. Look, they're unsustainable whether in Ireland, England or Scotland, and we used to be in competition with them. Now, but saying that, the seed project in Balbafay, that is the idea there, is bringing, it's not going to be leased out unit by unit, it's to bring in one employer, whether a subsidiary of Google or Amazon or some of them, to come in, and that's an 80 office block. So that is the idea. It's not manufacturing, but it's office-based.
Before we take the break and move on, Dakota, even from your own perspective or what you believe from your community's perspective, what do you believe the number one priority or one of them, right? It's very hard to pick the number one, but, you know, one of the top priorities are for this area.
Yeah, as you said, it's very hard to pick one. Coming from my own probably personal opinion, I would say housing would definitely be one of the biggest ones.
Well, you can relax that sort of.
I wouldn't agree there.
Well, we'll talk about that after.
I think there's a lot of things, though. Like, if I was just to mention a few, like we have Finn Harps, like getting their proper stadium I think that would be massive for the town. There's a lot, you know, the bypass is obviously factored into that as well. So there is a lot that this town does need well.
And from your perspective, Paul, be it business, community, what do you see as the one of the top priorities for this region?
Look, I've already alluded to it, Greg. For me, it has to be industry. Like,
yeah.
Do you know,
big employer.
Exactly, without a doubt. Good luck to Letterkenny and all that they have. But, you know, the infrastructure is not on Letterkenny to grow that. You know, why not put something in the like of the Twin Towns where you have a significant population that could cope with it.
So central too, because you'd be drawing people from Donegal Town, south of the county, west, north.
Do you know, there's only so much that the SMEs can do in a town, and as I said, like you can't rehash and you can't put, you know, umpteen chemists in the town and expect them to work. Like it's you know, you need the industry.
Patrick, what's your number one priority?
Yeah, well, look, it's to see the bypass built and get it in but in the meantime, it's not sitting waiting for that to happen. We're also looking at not just a direct link from the bypass into the town, and we had lobbied very heavily along the chamber to get that, but within the town, because many years ago, it was just going to go on the south side of the town, now it's the north side, so we need to make sure that all the traffic and all the community that are out on the on the south side of the town are actually able to get onto the bypass, and that's getting through the town without having to come through St. Avenue Street or Glenfinn Street. So we're in the middle of, we have two sites purchased, one at McLeish Corner and one up here at the Lidl, and that's to make a link road down to the Glenfinn Road. So it's to improve, not just taking a lot of the heavy lorries out of the town, but to improve access, to make it a lot easier.
Yeah.
So to get that done will be very important.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Keep your text, calls and comments coming in. Your WhatsApp, send your text to 086 60 25,000, or call us on 07 491 25,000. A texter says, Greg, as a frequent shopper to Bala Buffet, as far as I see, 90% of the traffic goes straight over the bridge or else up the gap in the other direction. No parking near shops that people would love to pop into so they can carry on and shop and eat in the nearest filling station with a deli and toilets. A listener who lives just outside the Twin Towns hears of all these plans, but they seem to take forever to ever happen. For example, the new Finn Harps ground took 20 years from announcement before anything actually happened. When a major infrastructure project, the wheels do tend to move slowly, but it does feel sometimes that they move at a snail's pace up here. A caller believes there should be a bus every 15 minutes from Bala Buffet to Letterkenny morning and evening at peak times. That comes in from Daniel. What about the factory on the left-hand side going into Stranorlar on the Letterkenny Road? Empties? There is a factory there, is there?
Yeah, it's they are being used at the moment, but more for storage, not manufacturing.
10 years since flooding in Bala Buffet, Castle Finn, Stranorlar, no planning in place yet. All right, there's a department of the council that works very much in that area, trying to get various projects over the line. Okay, you are tuned to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. We're broadcasting live today from the Finn Valley College in Stranorlar. It's part of the launch of their album, Our Donegal. We're going to be speaking to teachers and pupils and parents over the course of the show. We've got some live performances, singing, poetry, drama, all of that to look forward to. But we still have more conversation with Councillor Patrick McGowan, Councillor Dakota Minimum, and Paul Harkin after we take this break. Right, so you heard Dakota earlier on mentioning that one of the key priorities in this area, and it's every area I think around the country, is housing. Now, the government officially unveiled its latest action plan. I think it's the fourth in 10 years. And it is a plan for 300,000 homes over the next 5 years. The thing is, though, that there is only one target, and that is 300,000 homes. It's kind of problematic, I presume, because of the process. This year and next year are kind of locked in. So you're probably looking at, what, 70-odd, 75 odd thousand houses. That leaves for the final 3 years having to build something in the region of 220-230 houses, which is ambitious to say the least. Councillor Dakota Minimum, I'll come to you first. Of course, I should mention Dakota is a Sinn Féin representative in the Lifford Stranorlar Municipal District. I mean, looking on at this, if it's delivered, happy days.
Yeah, happy days if it's delivered, but I still think it falls very short of what we actually need. We're not seeing the proper social affordable homes in that plan. I think that plan was very disappointing for people yesterday, although not really surprising, because it seems to be much of the same. Some of the things they've put out as new aren't actually new. So they've put out, you know, about the over the shop, converting them into apartments or whatever. We already have that in the repair and lease scheme. You know, these aren't new ideas, these are just being rebranded. I think what you mentioned there about the targets, not having yearly targets, I think that's just them scapegoating, so they're not being held accountable every year, because last year we saw their targets were 40,000 and they fell short of that with just over 30,000. And we know they were caught out with that. They had their big spin for the election saying that they were going to deliver this and they didn't. So it's just no surprise, and there's nothing for renters in it either. There's nothing for the Gaeltacht housing. There was a tiny paragraph on Gaeltacht, and it just had nothing of substantial in it.
Yeah, but you talk about there not being annual targets, and I do get that, right? But we're clever and we can deliver 5 into 300 and then we can take year one and year two off the total of 5, right? So whilst there's not a specific annual target, there is a target of 300,000 houses over 5 years. So I can understand why people are picking up on that and seeing it as some sort of a failure. But ultimately, they will be judged at the end of the 5 years on whether or not that those houses are delivered. The question is, can they be delivered with the, you know, the lack of capacity in water and sewage, power to some extent as well, and of course to the quagmire that can be the planning process. I think those are the, and also to, are there the people here to actually build these houses? So there's a lot of headwinds, as they say, in financial circles.
Yeah, I think the lack of investment in the planning section, so whether it be the council planning or the commission planning, you know, to speed up these decisions, and when they get to the courts as well, there's been no investment there. And that's where we see a lot of hold up as well with houses. So, yeah, there's just totally nothing to be excited about in that plan.
Councillor McGowan, do you believe that this is deliverable?
Well, look, I'm like everybody else, I'm hopeful. I think this is one of the reasons that the government has probably said, look, we have a 6-year plan, you have a 5-year government, and rather than looking at it from year to year, because sometimes you start projects in January, February, March, you mightn't start houses until September, October, November. Like, so, you know, a 12-month cycle has nothing to do when a housing scheme starts or it finishes and that. And, like, all the focus now, and, like, you know, you have constructive criticism and then you have opposition for the sake of it. Like, so it's important that the government, the department, all the different players work together, including our own kind of councils, because...
Well, can I just pick up on one thing? And I do get where you're coming from, but I hope we're all being constructive. Like, say, for instance, one measure within it. Now, we know there's a massive supply shortage of homes, second-hand homes, for an example. So the policy document outlines a €100 million fund for 2026 that would be used to acquire second-hand homes for families who've been in an emergency accommodation for the longest. Right, that's welcome, but is it welcome that the state enters into the second-hand homes market? You know, what will that mean to prices into the future and going forward, and the availability of rental properties and all that type of stuff? Like, every action has a reaction, and I just wonder, you know, is it fair that first-time buyers now are going to be competing for properties with the states, their own money effectively through the state?
Look, it's as simple as this, and needs must, because at the end of the day, as Dakota says, we have families right now, some of them a long time on the waiting list, and the government's an obligation to try and take the most needy off the streets or off probably unsuitable accommodation. So we have to, we can't wait to build houses, because we have a long waiting list. We're not going to get to everybody in the short term. So in the short term, it's a very necessary thing that the government needs to get in and buy these, spend €100 million buying a house. This is not new. We've been doing this for a long, long time. It would be great in an ideal world.
I just want to say one thing, by the way.
It would be great.
Dakota did say that there's a lot of stuff in this that's repackaged.
No, look, and
as a Fianna Fáil rep, you've just admitted that. You're already doing this.
Look, what we said is, you have to live in the here and now. It's going to take, look, they're saying there, 6 years to build 300,000 houses. We can't wait 6 years. There are people who need them right now, tomorrow. So you have to welcome that. It's not ideal. And it would be great if the County Council could supply all the direct build all the houses now. But look, you must remember, we come out of a major financial downturn. We come through COVID. There's a shortage of builders. There's a housing crisis in a lot of countries.
Well, how do we build these houses then with a shortage of builders?
Yeah, well, look, we're doing them. That's why it's going to take 6 years. That's why we're not going to all start planting. Now, if you speak to builders, they'll tell you the main thing is funding, infrastructure, zoning,
tax
and
breaks,
and planning.
VAT breaks.
We have 40,000.
The developers sat on 40,000 planning permissions down in Dublin until such time as the government opened the purse strings.
Correct.
We are by the ghoulies, by the developers and builders, really effectively, aren't we?
Look, unless the government has a magic wand and can build all the houses in the next 2 or 3 years themselves, we have to find some way of doing it. And you know, look, none of us like speculators and people yet. but we all need builders. So builders shouldn't be a bad word or something. We need them, whether they're building for themselves to make a profit or they're building directly for the council.
Well, the majority of these houses will end up being built by international funds, investors, you know, so...
But these people are all waiting on houses. So, look, no matter who goes into them, if there's a waiting list, whether in the local authority waiting list or young people looking to get their first home, let's build... The answer is build the houses. If you said you have 40,000... You have 40,000 plan permissions sitting there. The private sector are voting with their feet and they're not going to construction. So the government is using short-term measures
even here, even here in Donegal, the what effectively developers are saying or have said, or I've read between the lines, is effectively unless the council stumps up more cash, we'll build these houses elsewhere. We can go into the north and build them, you know, and we've seen some developments, no one in the houses because the developers are able to hold out waiting for bigger bucks off the council. And eventually, in some cases, the council has to walk away. But these developers can take their operations anywhere they like.
Yeah.
Like, well, we really are at the, I mean, they're fantastic. We need them, right? But they call the shots.
Yeah, well, look, at the end of the day, there's so much the council can do by direct building. But that, even with the matter who's in government, no matter much money throw at it, that's going to take so long. So we have to use a number of avenues. Like, we have had the Building Federation in at our special housing meetings in Lifford. They have outlined basically these things that I have said. It's the same thing. Everybody's talking about it. It's getting the land, the planning, the zoning, the funding. The prices will determine themselves.
Yeah.
I
have known nothing about housing, but when you talk about the government increasing HAP payments, which is right, so people need more support, but that also, that means effectively there's more money out there, right? And I think the prices will go up accordingly. Obviously, there's groups of people in this country that have great incentives for rent, £600 or £700 a month, which drives the prices up. And now you've got the state itself in the second-hand housing market. These are all indicators to me that seem to make renting and buying houses more expensive, and these are state decisions. But I'm open, I don't know, we'll see. Yeah. But waiting very patiently with his views in relation to this is a gentleman who's the head of the Letterkenny, not the Letterkenny, this Ballybofey Stranooler Chamber, Paul Harkin. What's your views on the housing plan, and how far does it go? Does it go far enough, etc.?
Well, look, Greg, you would love to see them delivering the 300 houses, but honestly, I can't see how it's going to happen. For me, affordability is key. You know, if you look at back at 2006, at the height of the Celtic Tiger, we were building 90,000 homes. So you're not far short of them type of figures you're going to be looking to achieve again. In 2006, the average price of a home in Ireland was 339,500. The average price of a home now is 375,000. You'd have to wonder, Greg, how future generations are going to afford to get on that property market. There's something you said yourself, which is very relevant in all this too, is where's the people going to come out of to build all these homes? You know, if you look at the last CSO data for 2020 in relation to craft apprenticeships, there was 2,390 were completed that year. Now, they're saying that that's rising to 9,000 in 2024, but there's no stats in that yet. The government are saying they would like to see 10,000 per year. But the worrying thing about all that, and particularly in our own county, Greg, is like in that 2020 stat from the CSO, out of that 2,390, 40 of them were in Donegal. Like, we have a huge crisis here in Donegal in terms of the mica. Do you know, how are we going to tackle that problem, never mind put all these new houses on top of it?
Yeah, it is a challenge.
I just can't see it happen, Greg.
Right, okay, but at the same time, we have to wait and see. I mean, I think this is what I was trying to say in the show yesterday. I think anyone, it doesn't matter who you support or if you don't support, we need more houses in this country and more affordable houses. I honestly think the realistic dream of owning your own property in your 20s or 30s is finished now, to be honest with you. I just don't think it's...
I think we're
just going to have to almost not put it out of our heads, but it just doesn't seem to be that we could ever find ourselves in that position again.
No, that's it, definitely. Especially if you are renting at the minute as well, and you obviously want to eventually own your house. You know, your rent and you're paying at least $1,000 a month now. You're very lucky if you're paying anything less than that. And that's just dead money. And you're not going to be able to afford a mortgage.
I would love to say, I think I said this to you when you said the same thing the last time, because often, sometimes, I just wish that your rental record was a proper was given proper recognition when applying for a mortgage. You know, so if you've proven that you were able to pay €1,200 on rent for 3 years, that should leave you at a huge advantage, I think, in terms of securing a mortgage. I know we don't want to overheat that market and overlend either, but there has to be some way where that ability to pay is recognized.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it should be counting for something. You know, you're paying that every month. Like, it should be.
And it would get rid of this feeling if it's dead money. I mean, obviously it wouldn't be towards you, but you'd feel it's a means to an end.
It would feel like something, you know. And like, the government had the choice to, you know, bring in like a rent freeze, where they could have freezed all rents now, so that people would have at least that bit of security that their rent wouldn't be going up. But they don't have that, and now we have the RPZs coming
in. Pressure zones, yeah.
Yeah, coming in now in March. And what are we seeing? We're seeing all these houses exiting now before that comes in, because they don't want to be tied down for the long contracts. The amount of people have came to me now saying, my landlord's selling the house. What's going to happen to me?
You know? I would love to know if the derelict properties being restored to accommodation is counted in the figures. Because our figures in Donegal could look a little bit artificially good. I think it's a brilliant scheme, don't get me wrong, but we're the biggest adopters of that. Okay, we're in the company of our guests for this morning, and your comments as well. I'll get to them in a moment. Councillor Patrick McGowan, Chair of the Ballybuffet Stranraer Chamber, Paul Harkin, and Councillor De Coltaneagh Menaman. We'll have more from all of our guests, and as I say, more of your comments, etc., after we take a break. We'll be back shortly. We are, as I mentioned, here at the Finn Valley College. They're launching their album, Our Donegal, today, and we're going to be speaking in the second 2 hours to teachers and principals here involved in the album, the concept, the project, and we're going to be getting live music, students' performances, we're going to be chatting to the head boy, the head girl, the principal. There's a lot going on, so stay tuned for that. And of course, you can watch it all by going on to our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland, and our Facebook channels, and on X as well. Just search that out. Let me see. We have been getting your comments in as well, of course, this morning. And very busy, actually. Can you ask the panel why a one-way system was never trialled in the Twin Towns? Paul, is there any argument for that? Have you ever? How would it work? Where would the second lane of traffic go?
I don't know. How would you even make that work?
I don't know, because there's no natural loop there. It's never been on the cards, has it, Patrick?
We've done it a couple of times when we're doing the major roadworks. It probably mean it would be a partial detour, like you would sort of go around Drainan and come around that way, you know, and they dug up the streets and that. But look, see when it comes to the junctions. You can't get round the junctions. You still end up in Clay's Corner, or you end up at Lidl and Aldi, and then you're going to have a tail back then. So, look.
Yes. I don't see, I have no appetite for that as a driver. What about you, Dakota?
No, I don't really see it working. No, maybe in certain lanes might work, link roads, but not actually on the main road now.
Okay, well, thank you for texting in. Who's going to build the houses? Have you ever tried to get a workman lately? They all say they're too busy. Can you imagine how many people are saying, can you be here before Christmas? It's just going to be unbelievable. Discussing trying to get more businesses to open in Ballybuffet. Businessman recently tried to get permission to open a large business and couldn't get planning permission, so took the business elsewhere. It seems to me, says another, that this housing plan is meant to facilitate accommodation for immigrants, migrants, maybe a few Irish, to cover their tracks. Well, there's specific measures there to address homelessness. And when we talk of homelessness, we talk of the 16,000 people. The government in the plan is recognizing that and does have ambitions in relation to that, and also getting people the longest on the housing waiting lists, which would not necessarily include the people that you talk of. You know, it's the government here who are making these decisions, not necessarily those that have come here. Can you ask your guests on their opinion of the proposed new development in flax fields in Convoy? What's your view? I'll read it out then. So, can you ask the guests on their opinion of the proposed new development in flax fields, Convoy? 24 houses recently completed, and now a planning application for 32 more. Is this welcome? I'm not sure. Obviously, locally there can be different scenarios, Patrick.
Yeah, well, look, I've been on your show several times, and I'm going to tell you at every council meeting, I have asked for a health check, actually a town plan for Convoy, and they have wrote in looking for it, because this happened back in the Celtic Tiger times as well. You had all the developers, when things weren't going fast enough in Letterkenny, they were out buying land and building away. The same is happening at the moment. There's an awful lot of development going on, and we have questioned, particularly in social housing, our housing officer, that we need to have a quota on this. He just can't, because it's not just, yes, the sewage there and so on, but there's a lot of other
Dakota, this then issues. Is the catch 22, isn't it? You know, we want more houses, and then the problems are water, sewers, power. It's, you know, I know there was a billion for water infrastructure, but that's it. Unless we actually can see where that money's going in, it's only then that we can see where the houses can go.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. So them houses in Convoy, we've seen some of them. They've been completed. The rest should be completed now this month. They're very high standard houses, absolutely beautiful. No issues there. They're brilliant houses. But there is the issue of, like, you know, the services in Convoy. Convoy has a very narrow street. You know, the school, one of the schools is on the main street. It's a lot of congestion there. You know, that's what you need to look at whenever you are planning houses for Convoy. Whereas I would rather see the houses in somewhere like Balbofay, who has a bigger capacity, has 3-4 national schools, you know, that can cater for the extra people.
And this is the complication, Paul Harkin, of this whole plan, isn't it? It's the right houses in the right places. It's just not build.
It's the infrastructure, Greg. You know, if the infrastructure is not there, how do you complete it? It's the same when we talk about industry. You know, if the infrastructure's not there, again, how do you complete it?
Yeah, a caller says the housing plan commits to deliver 72,000 social homes, 90,000 starter home supports. This significantly increases the state role in direct housing provision. That's not the way it should be. Workers should be able to buy affordable homes. This does nothing to help, says a listener. The council can't get empty council houses repaired to make the houses available to families on the social housing list. They are the very people who should be fined for sitting on vacant homes. Is there still an issue in turnaround of properties, Patrick? Yeah.
In this MD, we have zero empty houses.
I was gonna
zero. Ask. Now, you will find the figures, and it was discussed at one of our monthly housing meetings. Many years ago, back 20 years ago, at every meeting we had, we used to have 40 to 50 empty councillors at any one time, from St. Johnson to, say, Funtown. Now we're down to zero. Effectively, they might go on coming empty right now. The problem in the Letterkenny and in the Shone area, a lot of the houses, when they come empty now, some of them are mica, so they have to be retained. They're not going to put new families in. So that is, again, it's a sort of a mica effective block.
Of course, and the thing that is particularly, you know, this housing plan, we have to put it in our context. As you quite rightly mentioned, I mean, there's an awful lot of council stock lying empty. There's an awful lot of people in council houses that they shouldn't be in because of defective concrete blocks. So there's a rebuild of those. We haven't even seen what that looks like yet, or how it will be done, or who will do it. And you know, whilst there are houses being built, private houses through the scheme, it's not at a scale anywhere where it needs to be or where we'd want to be. And then you factor into that building additional housing, and then you factor into that, you know, serious. Milford's still under a hosepipe ban. Letterkenny's not far away from one. Glenties isn't far away from one. Inishowen in certain parts isn't. And you know, it just feels like we could be banging our head off a brick wall. Okay, listen, what's the best thing about Balibafay Snorlapore, Paul? It's not fair to ask you first, well, look, but you know what? Life's not fair.
Look, it's a good town. There's plenty of offering in it. With some great things going for us, like Dakota said earlier, you know, the county
GAA.
Come
on, with your own things.
County GAA is here, you know, with the Fun Valley Centre. You know, we have some fabulous businesses in the town. We have the likes of Michael Honey's. You know, as Patrick said earlier too, you know, known throughout the
entire country. You know, we have fabulous hotels. We have three hotels in the town, which is a huge plus. Like, you know, there's plenty of things planned for the future that will enhance the town's new greenway between Balbuffet and Donegal Town. The Regan's going to be one of the most scenic in the country.
I look forward to driving past it.
You know, that should...
That it's a long cycle.
That should help, you know, from a tourist perspective.
Yeah.
But look, you know, it's a fine town, or fine towns.
Dakota, what's your favourite thing about this area?
It probably is the community. Everybody's, you know, quite good. No, like, we do have a lot of good facilities here too. Like what was said, you know, the JA, like, we're quite renowned with our sport.
We have a lot of different
sports here. Like, we have Capri and different stuff.
Like, it's going to be heading towards the sport and capital of the county.
Yeah,
it's not
we are
already.
Quite
with,
good
with
here.
The new Finn, with the Finn Valley Centre and what it's produced, the new Finn Harp Stadium, which seems there's some brilliant people trying to get that over the line. And, of course, you know, McCool Park. Right?
Yeah, and even the school here, like, they open their grounds, you know, as well. And they're very inviting to the community. They let different groups use their hall and everything too.
Okay, 10 seconds. You've got Patrick, so it's not your fault. I've just left you short.
And the fact too, it is a lovely town. It's a very nice residential town, and there are jobs, and there's a lot of facilities here, a lot of sport and recreation. And we're starting shortly now on long-awaited Drumbo Park with the first phase of that, which will be another playground. So there's a lot going on.
Sorry to leave you short, but there's a lot of exciting stuff, and there's a lot of stuff crossing over. Listen, it's been lovely speaking to you, Councillor Patrick McGowan, Councillor Dakota Menemum, and Paul Harkin. We're going to take a break. Coming up after the news at 10, we have loads of conversation and entertainment for you. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.